Morning. The lesson this morning will come primarily from the Gospel of John and chapter 1, starting in verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," translated Peter. Today, in our society, and I think it's been like this for a long time, we talk about simplifying things. We talk about, you know, when politicians, when they're running for office, we're going to simplify the tax code. We're going to do away with some of these regulations. We're going to make your lives simpler. And I haven't seen that work too well, but there's a lot of talk about it. Invariably, when a new coach is hired, and this is the time of year a lot of football coaches will be hired, that's what they'll talk about. We're going to simplify things. We're going to get back to blocking and tackling. And then they run this elaborate offense. And new CEOs, as they take over a business, a corporation, they talk about, we're going to simplify things. We're going to get back to customer service first. And we're going to do away with some of these layers of authority. Typically, they just add. And in our lifestyles, in our lives, I remember when our children were growing up, there were times we'd say, "We've got too much going on. There's too many activities. It's too complicated. We need to simplify it." I don't think we ever accomplished that, but that was a goal. And some of us have, some of you have been able to accomplish that. We live in a complex world, very complicated. It gets more complex all the time. We were having a discussion at work the other day, talking about how there's so many things that are so complex. And reading in John, Gospel of John in chapter 1 is an example of evangelism simplified. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning for just a minute. We're making this too complicated sometimes, folks. What did Andrew do when he heard and when he met Christ, spent some time with him? What's the first thing he did? He went and seeked out his brother, Peter. He said, "I have found the Messiah. You need to come. You need to." He introduced Peter to Christ. And that's what we need to do. We need to introduce our brothers and sisters, our co-workers and our friends, to Christ. And don't make it so complicated. If it needs to be complicated, if it needs to be a lot of discussion, there's a lot of questions, we can get into that. We don't need to have instant recall for every verse that's going to refute some false doctrine out there. We may have to get into that. But we don't need to start there. We don't need to complicate it. And sometimes we get locked down. is kind of paralysis by analysis. We kind of get locked down and we say, oh, but if I say something to this person, if they ask me about this, what am I gotta have to be prepared for that. What about this faith only? Am I ready to answer that? Sure, we should be ready. But you know what? It doesn't hurt a thing to say, you know what? Let's get together and talk about that. Or if they have a question that you can't answer right off, you know it's in here. It's happened to all of us. I'm going to guess it's happened to all of us. I know it's in the Bible, but I can't tell you where it is right now. Do you know what? Let me get back with you. There's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't expect us to have total recall of every verse in the Bible. It's just not the way it is. Or we're afraid that we're not smooth enough. We don't have a smooth presentation. What did Paul say about himself? He didn't have a real good way of speaking. Who was more effective than him? And I know how he feels, stumbling around. But you know what? It shouldn't keep us from asking people, do you know Jesus? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Of course, we need to remember, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent and present yourself approved to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not trying to make light of the word. I'm not trying to make light of the fact that we do need to make a defense. But we don't need to start with that every time. Today, the world is full of people that are just not interested in godly things for one reason or another. They're just not interested. They're certainly not interested if we get in their face. They hear about the hypocrites that show up at church. They hear about the unforgiving attitudes that we have. We don't even believe that women should be up here preaching. What kind of an outfit is that, see? What about homosexuals? You guys are saying that's wrong. Everybody's going along with that now. No, we're not. We don't start with that, folks. We start by asking them if they know Jesus. We have never had more opportunities to spread God's word than what there are today. You think about all the tools that we have. We have classes. We have lessons, live classes. We have live streaming. We have recordings on that are posted on our website. We have podcasts. Kyle does these podcasts. They're great podcasts. Do we tell people about that? Do we mention it to them? We have the Facebook post. Gospel meetings that we present. Are we asking people to come to our gospel meetings? Are we saying, hey, this would be good. Come, join us. Several Bible studies. Flyers. We have all kinds of flyers back there. We've got faithful sayings and the same thing that Kyle puts on his podcast, but they want it in writing. We can hand it to them. We have those cards that we can pass out. Do we do that? Are we doing any of it? So some things to simplify evangelism. What did Andrew do? He went and talked to his brother first. What can we do? We can go talk to our brother. We can talk to our friends. We can talk to our coworkers. Hopefully we're living our lives in a manner that they think we're godly people, that we act like godly people, and that and so therefore it might mean something to them when we try to teach them the truth. You know what? If we're not living our lives where they feel that way, we better start there. Studies show that over 90% of the people that belong to religious organizations of any type, over 90% of them are there because somebody invited them, a friend or family invited them. Over 90%. So where's our good prospects, evangelistic prospects? Right in front of us. People we know. And if we don't have the right relationship with our family and our friends, that we can be an influence on them, we better start there. We better quit thinking, well, it's kind of uncomfortable, and so I better make things right with them. No, I tell you what. What's most important is if it affects our ability to persuade them or to be able to talk to them about their souls, then we need to clean that up. We need to do something about that. We need to swallow some pride. And we need to forgive. We need to forget whether they ask us to or not. If it affects our ability to help them get to heaven and help me get to heaven, we better do something about it. Invite them to know Jesus. Get where you can. Get where we can. And we need to realize that evangelism is not about fear and guilt, but about excitement. Do you think that Andrew went and saw Peter, told him about Christ because of some sermon that he heard that made him feel guilty? No. He went to talk to Peter because he was excited. I have found the Messiah. Come. I want you to know him too. I want to introduce him to you. You to him. And if we're not excited about what we have here, we better count our blessings. We start with counting our blessings. How blessed are we? How blessed are we as a country? How blessed are we as a people? How blessed are we to be here? Look at us. People from all income levels, from all education levels, from all different ethnicities. And we come together and we worship God and we care about each other. We don't care. We don't care about their socioeconomic status. It's not important. We're brothers and sisters. And if that's not something that we should be excited about talking to our friends and our family about, we need to think about that. How lucky are we? How blessed are we? Enthusiasm is contagious. We need to be enthusiastic. When the world is out there talking about Christianity and they're talking about it's just a bunch of hypocrites, how do we respond to that? We better respond by saying, no, we're not. We're not. You should come here. You should come worship with us. You should become a part of us. Because we're not. Okay? Stand up. Say something about it. Speak up. You don't have to preach it on the street corner. We're talking one-on-one with people. Well, I don't know about those churches. You know, there's just a bunch of hypocrites up there. And, you know, those people, they look down on you. And I've visited with them before, and they don't even speak to you. What are you talking about? We'll run over you to speak to you. We better be. That affects our relationships and our ability to reach these people. And it's not hard. And evangelism is not about applying pressure and persuading them. It's about introducing them. Absolutely, we need to be ready to teach them the truth. Absolutely, we need to be ready to point out error. Absolutely. But first of all, let's just invite them. Let's just tell them. So we can get there. We all have notes in our back of our Bibles, and we have it on our phones, and about all this. I can use that as an argument. I can use that verse to refute what these people are saying and that person's saying. And yes, those can be of value. But like I said, let's don't start there. Don't beat them over the head with that. Get them interested. Get them interested. This isn't it. We're not here to beat them up. We're to introduce them to Christ. One of my greatest fears is that I might fall prey. I might be subject to this, or that this song may apply to me, I should say. You never mention him to me. When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be, if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word, whether it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way. You never mentioned him to me. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. Certainly not a lesson to teach us what it takes to be saved, but if anyone is subject to the invitation, please come forward as we sing the song. Jeff? Yeah.